Thanks. Erica Jetsenbecker, County Commissioner.
Jeff Morris, Lake Eunice Township.
Tommy Eiley, Detroit Lakes.
Kim Mattson, Claremont Township.
Steve Endo, Forest Township.
Mary Seaver, Erie Township.
John Oakson, County Commissioner.
Nick Bowers, Erie Township.
Craig Hall, Lakeland Township.
Maria Hope, Lake.
Kyle Barker, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Nikki Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
All right, thank you. Minutes from the previous meeting, is there any corrections or additions? If none, I would entertain a motion to approve.
Approve.
Got a motion to approve, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Tommy. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. All right, I will go over the protocol for tonight's hearing. First, we'd introduce any old business that was set aside from a previous meeting, introduce new business, which will consist of conditional use permits, change of zones, and preliminary plot approvals. I ask the applicant to step forward, introduce their application. I would ask no one in the general audience to direct any comments to the applicant without going through this board. Sufficient time will be given to those who would like to comment on this application. After all is spoken, we'll ask the admin staff to read any written correspondence that was not in our packets for the meeting. We'll then close testimony and the board will deliberate. This board has won a recommendation to the County Board of Commissioners. They typically address planning and zoning matters at around 9:30 a.m. and their next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September, what's the date of that?
Third.
All right. I ask everybody to shut off their cell phones. And with that, first applicant.
First applicant of new business is Brandon Shipman requesting a conditional use permit to construct a retaining wall.
Hello, I'm Brian. I'm going to be the contractor. Brandon's not here today.
All right.
So I'm looking to construct 2 4-foot retaining walls with 10-foot wide pathway steps up this hillside over on Little West Little Farm Road.
All right.
Using first block that I think gave to Nikki to pass out to you guys. Jeff did say something about the silt fence when I talked to him last week. I think I sent that email to Nikki this morning. Hopefully you guys all got the picture of the silt fence as well. So.
All right. Is there any questions for the applicant?
I do have a question. As far as the stormwater management plan for that lot, as you're aware how steep it is on the lake, on the roadside, and how the water, storm runoff water is going to go, what plans do you have in place for that? My concern is that that could impact what you're going to be wanting to construct. Have you looked at an overall plan to address all water issues?
I've talked to it with Brandon Shipman. He's going to do most of it himself. Right now we're discussing for water mitigation, doing some catch basins off of his house and doing maybe a French drain or something, or creating a little, before you go down the hill, that creates like a water stop there to slow the water down. I'm still working through it with him on that part. I know that he was going to do possibly the majority of the grading there. Like I said, this project just came up, and so right now we're just going through the works of the retaining wall right now.
But you could see where the retaining wall could be impacted by where the owner or where the applies his,
yep,
his runoff path.
Yep, I'll make sure of all the runoff slope, and then I know Kyle, when they were out there, they mentioned the neighbor over there, so I've been in talk to them about it. We just haven't had a final plan for that, but if I do get the grading, I know what you guys' expectations are of it all.
Have you or the owner discussed using a PE, a professional engineer, to help with that design work? Seems to me that that would resolve and put your, I would say, that your effort, the retaining wall part of it, in good sound ground. Otherwise, what you put in or what could be put in might not be as effective or may not help, but may hinder the process, depending on where that landowner. So to me, it looks like we need a two-part process. We need to figure what the water is that's going to go on the lot, where that's going to go, and then the best placement for your retaining walls. And right now, seems to me, that we're a little bit farther down the road than we should. We should have the water runoff figured out and as part of that runoff, figure out the impact that that will have with what you're proposed to do.
Okay. I feel like the water runoff wouldn't have any impact on our retaining walls if they're done.
Well, the problem is we don't know. I don't know what the impact is going to be. And I do work part-time in the water business.
Yep.
So I'm concerned that what we end up is what we want, and that is no solids runoff. We want retention areas. We want to slow down water. And then we also want to make sure that the shore impact is properly utilized so that we're not encroaching upon the shore impact any farther than we have to allow the owner to utilize his land and yet to provide adequate erosion control methods.
Correct, yeah. So, and I mean, the water runoff, I guess it runs everywhere right now. I think that would be more realistic to see where the water runs off after the walls are constructed and where I can put the water and where I can slow it down at. Right now, it's just a big hill that's just clay.
The problem that you have now, if you wait for you've developed problems, if you bring someone in and professionally look at them, they create a method and a process for you to utilize that if it's done in a short period of time, will prevent runoff and ultimately sedimentation and whatnot into the lake, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So that's my point. And
I got a question too along that same line. With the cup, I thought the water management plan was supposed to be with the application, and there's really nothing in here that talks to that. The other thing is, when I was out there Wednesday, you have a black tarp thing down by the lake.
Sometimes.
In two places, there was dirt going over the top of that, under and over the top, on each side. And so there's a tarp there, but it's not doing the job. You can see where the dirt's running out down the hill into the lake.
So that silt fence has nothing to do with me. That was on the homeowner, which I had him correct last week. And then I sent an email to Pinky this morning with pictures of that you guys should have got this morning of the silt fence up and stable.
So has that been fixed then?
Yes, you guys should have got an email this morning about it, of the silt fence being fixed. I have pictures on my phone that I can show you right now too.
You don't have any pictures on what was done this morning or how they fixed it?
Steve, he just
said
that.
That was sent this morning.
That was in the email they sent this morning that we all received.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
There still is a small.
I didn't hear that.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I guess I got a concern with the water management issue out there coming down that hill currently.
Yep.
And we don't really know in the future for sure what's going to be done there. So I guess I still have a problem with that.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I've been talking to him about the grading issue and all the water issues like I discussed with him prior to this and when we met out there. So it is something that could possibly be over my alley to if he does report me that part or whatever. But I know his concerns. I stress your guys' concerns to him on it all. About it all. I even gave him a new estimate about doing a French drain on top of the hill. Or doing French drain boxes to take the water instead of coming out of the gutter out over the top to do it underneath the water into a French drain. So there's no water that goes over the top of the yard. Slow down the water so it goes underground.
I have a question, Jeff. Does that fall into your water?
No, it's within a different water. It's not within a watershed district. The work that I do is within the Carmel Lakes Watershed District. So that doesn't apply, but the principles are the same. Water does have a tendency to seek its own level. And I think that when we're looking at putting a retaining wall, we just need to make sure that we're all comfortable so that it doesn't become another issue down the road for something. If it's engineered properly, if they use the engineering standards, they should be able to account for where the water goes that comes off the road, comes down the ditch, comes off the roof line, comes off the grassy areas, come off the driveway, and figure out and calculate where it's going to go, what's the best way of doing it, and what process or what condition can be put into place to best remedy it. So we don't have the driveway that becomes a waterway where we don't want the runoff directly off the roofs or off of the driveways or the road system draining directly into the lake. It just brings the sediment with it and anything else that's on that. Usually want to have is some sedimentation area, some slowing area, so that in a normal rain, it can handle that amount of rain without any issue. Now, if you get those eight-inch rains, four-inch rains, three-inch rains, probably three would be included, but if you get those unusual rains, it doesn't necessarily apply.
That was why I asked him, because you have an engineer in your watershed. Is that correct?
We utilize an engineer from Fargo who's a water specialist, and he does all of our design work. He'll take and look at everything and calculate the water movement and those things and make a determination of what water goes where it could be best, where it could best go, and how it can be diffused and slow before it goes in the lake. That's a typical process that we utilize in our district from our engineer.
Yeah, but your district utilizes that, yeah.
We will sometimes assist individuals with that, but a lot of times that becomes their responsibility to provide that information.
Okay.
Any other questions for the applicant? All right, thank you. May I have a seat? Is there anybody in the general audience to speak to this application? Anybody in the general audience to speak to this application? All right, with that, we'll close testimony, open it up for discussion with the board.
Well, what I'm hearing is that it's not a bad plan, it's just that you feel it's incomplete.
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, so the landscape, I think what Jeff's saying is that he's looking for more on the planning part before you would start on that. So that way there would be a plan for the water litigation and still go with the whole, with the block and everything like that, but just looking for to resolve that issue before the green light, basically.
So that's more the property owner, Shipman, to check farther.
Yeah.
Not our contractor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in regards to who does it, it should be done. I think it should be done before before we take the building activity, because you lose the flexibility on that. And then whoever's the PE that would look at that might say, well, instead of doing this like this, maybe like this, they have the flexibility of looking where water is going to go, how it could go, and maybe make something that would help them with their overall design. Now, I know that there's a design in place, and the owner, and we have a contractor reach an agreement on that. I just have concerns with that it's not solving the overall problem. It's just meeting the customer's needs in that small area.
Mr. Chair, the DNR and Soil and Water and I did meet with Brian on site there. We did talk about, obviously, that steep slope coming down there. I spoke with Ed Clem again this evening. His recommendation was 4 feet of granular soil behind each pier wall to send that water every direction but through that wall. And I believe in this plan, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have some tile.
Yeah, so behind the wall, directly behind the wall, I'll do a foot of 1-inch fractured rock. At the bottom, basically, if you show them, I believe it's on one of the pictures that I showed you for first block design, that there is a 4-inch grade tile that runs above the base layer, which is going to be buried completely. As you can see for the design, it'll be just plaster, whatever I have there, bury that base row. And then from there, a foot behind the wall, all the way up to probably the top 12 inches, will be a 1-inch fractured rock. And at the very base of it will be that 4-inch drain tile that will run along the base. So it will allow water to go down into that drain pipe and not through the wall. And like I talked with them guys out there with Ed, they suggested you do a granular soil behind it for water drainage back there. So that's what I expect in there too, is that with the homeowner I talked about this. So that's all we discussed out there. I know that they did talk a little bit about the water runoff, but that was something that wasn't, I feel at that time, was a major concern of getting just the wall through to get the project started. So right now this kind of is, I know it's a concern, it's kind of, yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, I think the idea there is you're going to have a foot of fractured rock, okay, behind that wall, and then you're going to have 4 feet of additional granular soil, so you're going to have 5 feet of soil, basically, that the water can travel every which direction through the wall. That was the idea.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
I wonder if you Please give me the microphones.
Yep.
There's a sizable audience here, and I'm sure that the back rows have difficulty hearing.
All right, we'll do our best.
Thank you.
All right, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I think we could, the way it sounds to me, probably make the motion to approve with a stormwater management plan to be included with it as well. That way the project doesn't get delayed another month before they come back to this.
That was my thoughts as well, because the longer this is set up without anything is the more runoff into the lake. So if we can,
that's my thoughts.
Yeah, so if we can put something in it to where he can still work on the wall, but they're also able to work on the water litigation now versus in a month.
Right.
A month of rainfall and whatever else, because this year doesn't seem to want to quit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got a question for Kyle here. When we get these cups like this, in this type of a cup, is there supposed to be a sort of water management plan in the cup when we get that?
No.
Is that part of the application?
No.
It's not?
No, they're case by case. That's why we meet with the soil and water out there and they make that recommendation, basically.
It seems like we should know about that before our meeting starts. And I guess it would make it easier for us, and rather than find out about something, you know, just now, so.
All right, any further discussion? Any further discussion? If not, I would entertain a motion one way or another.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we approve the plan as stated and to include a stormwater management plan, whether it's French drains or whatever they decide for the water coming off of the house. And I'd say that to be approved by someone in soil and water authority.
All right, so we have that motion by Craig. Do I have a second? Got a second by Tom. Any further discussion?
So Jeff, where do you weigh in on that?
Well, I think it's important to have those provisions, and I also understand that the timeline for construction is a good thing. I wish we had gotten a little bit more information in the packet up front, and I wish that we had some more input from the owner's perspective, because the contractors are kind of on his own little, owner wants to park, he wants to park. They need to come in. So I'm sitting on the side that we should have some expertise. We should have an overall plan of what's happening on that versus just part of it, what could be affected. I sense that soil and water has they put their effort in, and it's probably suitable. But it'd be nice to have that package put together and reviewed from the roadside down to the lake would be my recommendation.
There is a motion on the floor, so we got to vote on it.
Right. Yep. There's a motion and a second. We're just having discussion. Any further discussion? Beth, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. All right, next is the consideration for the 2024 Becker County Comprehensive Land Plan. First, I'm going to ask a question. Before I ask who all wants to speak to this, I'm just going to clarify a couple things, some clarification ahead of time. I know there's been discussion about wakeboards and those are wakeboats. We are not taking testimony here tonight in regards to those. That is not part of the land use plan. The county commissioners are taking that up as a separate issue, not part of this plan. So we will not be taking testimony related to that. Anything else, we will. So, and then those who get up to speak, you will have 2 minutes to speak. So, because there's a lot of people here tonight. So with that,
I get a question. This county commissioner thing you're talking about, When did that happen? Was there a vote taken? How did that work?
It was discussed in our meeting, Steve.
It was discussed last Wednesday, and you said basically the same thing as you just said now.
Right. But it is going to be dealt with, but it's not going to be separated into this plan.
Okay. But when did the county board members decide that's the way it was going to happen? I know you guys and Kyle said that, but I'm just curious to know is when the boards decided that, to pass that on to us.
We've had work sessions where we've discussed the comprehensive plan, and it's not the land wakeboarding is not a land use issue that would be addressed through the comprehensive plan and the land use zoning ordinance. So that was what we discussed in our work session, was the wakeboarding would be addressed separately through an ordinance vetted through the Sheriff's Department, because the Sheriff's Department would need to be the one that would enforce it. So it's not that we're saying it's not going to be addressed, it's just not going to be addressed in the land use ordinance.
Don't the comp plan and the ordinance have to work together to, you know, do an ordinance or to do some kind of regulation, rather than we're just going to do an ordinance even though it's not in the comp plan?
Just to add to that, Steve, we're looking at redoing the ordinances on a second phase of this whole process. We're negotiating with our consultants and so forth at this time. That would be our next work sessions and so forth, and what ordinances need to be reviewed at this time. And that's in progress. That's all I can really tell.
But John, those would not address wakeboarding. Like the land use ordinance that we're talking about doing with Vitamin would not address wakeboarding.
So any idea when that's gonna happen, the ordinance part?
It's a process and we're working with our consultants to work through it.
Is it
all right? We're going to move on. We'll get to ask some questions later.
I'm trying to clarify something legal here. If the DNR has a process, a petition that the county can apply for to regulate wakeboard boats on public water, then is that different, or is that what we're looking for, that piece of it? If that's there, then can we put wakeboard boats into the comp plan?
Right now, Steve, that's something that we're going to have to work through.
No, just to be clear, we have surface water ordinances in the county. We have them on St. Clair Lake. We have no wake zones. We have motor restrictions. They're not through, they stand alone. They're just like an ATV ordinance, a cannabis ordinance, a tobacco ordinance. Our office does not regulate ATV ordinances, nor do they regulate tobacco ordinances. The county has many that stand alone and are not part of this zoning ordinance for a comprehensive land use plan. It was also stated publicly in a county board meeting that they would be vetting that through the sheriff's office and the sheriff weighing in on enforcement and things of that nature. It's not something our office will be enforcing. We don't write violations on water. We don't have boats.
But if you read this handout that we all just got, there is a process that the DNR will do to, again, the counties can apply to the DNR to regulate wakeboard boats on public waters. There is a process.
No one is saying there's not a process. It's just not through our office, it's through the sheriff's office. That's the difference.
It's through who?
The sheriff's office.
Well, through the county. It's a county that would, according to this, the county makes the application to the DNR, and then the DNR approves it or doesn't approve it. And if they do, then the enforcement comes to the sheriff's office, water patrol, conservation officers, that type of thing. So it's got to come from the county's request to regulate that surface water first. And then, you know, it should be in the comp plan first. But then it goes to back to the county if the DNR approves it, it sounds like here, and then the county has authority, the sheriff's office has authority. They're given the authority to do the enforcement at that point.
Kyle, when Robin gets on, can we ask her, in her understanding of comprehensive plans, do our surface water ordinances need to be addressed in our comprehensive plan? I agree with everything you're saying, Steve, in that there is a process. It's just the process does not start at the Planning Commission. The process starts at the county board level. The county board level has to approve an ordinance, which is being vetted through the sheriff's committee.
Not the zoning.
Not the zoning. Because the land use zoning, Kyle's office, can't enforce wakeboarding. Or a surface, not just wakeboarding, just surface
surface water
ordinances, period.
Yeah, but according to this...
No, according to this...
They can't.
This has nothing to do with land use ordinances. This pertains to the county. This doesn't pertain to our land use zoning office. So I agree with this, and we've always said that this is in place and it can happen. It's just that it's not going to happen through the Planning Commission, because that's not the appropriate place for it.
But I still think that's not what this says. It has to come from the county to the DNR.
Well, then you might not agree with that, but we're going to continue on. We're not going to continue back and forth with this. So, yeah. So, all right.
Mr. Chairman, point of order, this is not my testimony. It is the challenge of the decision of the board that I wanted to put on the record.
What? Challenge of the board of the county commissioners, you mean?
No, of this commission. So I need to speak to this commission on the record so that it shows you later on if there's an official objection that it was entered in here properly.
Right, and you will have a chance to do that.
Well, that's my testimony, but this is procedural, not my substantive testimony.
All right, please step forward and do that then.
Excuse me, this microphone is set too high. My name is Willis Mattson. I raised a point of objection based on state law. The Lake Falls governing both municipal and county comprehensive planning give broad authority and instruct planning commissions to address both land and surface waters in their comprehensive plan. Counties have slightly different language in their legislation, but it is already a precedent that it is included in this. If you deny citizens the opportunity to raise that issue and why it should be in the comprehensive plan, this hearing can be challenged for failure to accommodate the full and complete record. You may disagree with what's being entered, but you cannot preclude it. It actually becomes then a free speech issue if you foreclose comments that the testifier believes is relevant. So I would urge you to err on the side of caution and accept testimony. You can decide later whether it's relevant, but to do so preemptively is a violation of my First Amendment rights. And I think that's a scary place for the county to go when it is very simply accommodated by accepting testimony now and then having counsel or whatever later decide whether it should be included or not. Thank you.
Dave, I would recommend that we allow testimony regarding wakeboarding with the limit of 2 minutes.
All right, I will agree to that. All right, so to move up forward, consideration of the 2024 Becker County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. So
I believe Robin's on there.
Can we first ask her about the necessity of having the wakeboarding addressed in our comprehensive plan. Please.
Robin?
Oh, sorry. Hi, Robin.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yep. We have a question as to whether or not the concerns about wakeboarding need to be addressed within our comprehensive plan in order for a potential wakeboarding ordinance to be issued. Wakeboarding. Wake surfing.
I don't think it would need to be addressed just because, you know, this is a 15-year plan, and who knows, you know, I think, you know, covering things like protecting water quality and natural resources, I think, you know, more of that high level, because, you know, we don't know what kind of boats are going to be out there in 10 years, 15 years, you know, so I think usually including more robust. But I don't think that you would need to specifically call out wakeboards in order to adopt a wakeboard ordinance. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I just want to clarify, when we're saying wakeboard, we're meaning wake boats, wake surfing.
Oh, wake boats, yeah.
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 Point of clarification. In the reports that we've submitted, we will talk generally about that type of boat operation, of which wake boats are a type, but you can operate an ordinary boat in a destructive way, in a bow up position that creates bottom damage, shore damage, this kind of thing. So even though we name it wake boats, it is not specific to wake boats. It's that kind of behavior that affects water quality, shoreline property, docks, boats, and all kinds of other public property. So it's a generic name, but it's not specific to wake boats.
Right. Okay. All right, thanks. All right, Robin. So is she now going to speak to the plan?
Yeah, Robin, if you share your screen.
I don't remember that I heard the question. Was there a question?
No, nope. Point of clarification. If you just share your screen and begin with your slideshow, please.
Oh, okay, sure. So
Good afternoon. Again, I'll just introduce myself really quickly. Again, my name is Robin Kaufman. I'm a senior community planner with Bolton and Mink, and I do have Dylan Edwards with me as well today. We're going to be talking a little bit about, giving an overview. We're going to start by giving an overview of the comprehensive land use plan. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the public engagement that we did. We'll talk about, we're going to highlight just the mission, visions, and goals, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the changes to the land use plan, and then the next steps. So maybe just to start high level with what a comprehensive plan is, because I know one of the things that I think is kind of confusing to folks is that there, the difference between the comprehensive plan and the zoning code and why there are these two layers. So the comprehensive plan really is the high-level policy document. It sets the goals and objectives for the county. So this more sets, you know, your vision. It provides, an analysis of your existing conditions, and then very high-level policies and goals for getting you to your goals. They're usually, 10 or 15 years. So like in this case, we're looking out to about 2040 in this case. The zoning code is that next layer of detail that really, it implements the land use plan. So it's going to regulate specific types of land uses. It's going to define standards. So, how big can development be? Where can development be? Heights, densities, that sort of thing. And then it also sets out kind of the regulatory and performance requirements. So that kind of gives a little overview of the difference. So for an example, and we're going to talk a little bit later about this, I want to note that this presentation is going to be focusing on the land use plan. We are proposing some changes to land use plan, and we're going to talk a little bit about those changes. But again, they're very high level kind of general policy statements. So maybe to talk a little bit about the engagement efforts. We've been working on this plan for almost a year now. And we set up a project website that has had thousands of visits to it. We did and it's still active. We've been updating it on a regular basis. We have done social media posts, articles about the project updates. We allowed people to sign up for updates. So whenever we had an update, we would, our status of the project, we would send out an email. Kyle worked very closely with the cities and the townships. He said, actually had several meetings with them and sent out surveys to find out kind of what their vision and what their issues are, and also what their interests or opportunities were for improvement. We did do an online survey and had almost 500 responses. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we heard. And then we had several focus groups. We had one focus group that focused on environmental, and then we had another one on economic development. So we met individually with them at first early in the process, again, to kind of understand what their issues and concerns were. And then we met about a month ago just to share what we heard. Was there a question? I heard somebody.
Nope. You're good, Robin.
No, okay. And we're going to continue to engage continue to do the pop-ups, but we will do some sort of open house or public hearing coming up here. As far as what we heard, again, one of the very first things we did, Kyle met with the townships and the cities and again gave them like a little survey form that they could highlight what their issues or concerns were with the county's comp plan and the zoning code. And you can see here on the slide the things that we heard. The main themes were that the current plan was weak on the environmental needs, on agricultural preservation, and then also growth potential. They did note that the current plan is very strong on transportation and on parks, and that the current plan did not focus enough on the growth areas. And then one of the things that we really, really heard was the confusion between the zoning code and the land use plan. And again, that was one of the reasons I wanted to highlight just that difference, because the current plan and the current code kind of kind of muddy or are not very clear on which is which. We also, the other thing we heard is that emerging uses were not appropriately represented in the code, and that there isn't anything that really protects community character or especially focused on splitting of lots. As far as the general survey, like I said, we received over almost 500 responses, and the primary themes, the main things that people gave had priority to were housing. Housing was number one, with over 80% of people identifying or including that as their top, one of their top three priorities. We asked people to prioritize them. The next up was jobs and economy, and the third was natural resources. As far as the environmental groups, the first meeting that we had from them, we heard a lot of concern about environmental impacts, especially water quality and the loss of trees from development. We heard about just the interest in protecting natural resources, especially water quality, and one of the main reasons, of course, that people want to live in Becker County is because of the natural resources, the waters, the forests, and all the parks and trails and the natural resources that people can enjoy. We did talk a little bit about that there's an opportunity to restore or make improvements as people seek permits, especially as people are maybe wanting to upgrade lakefront property or expand buildings, you know, that's an opportunity for improving, maybe addressing shoreline issues. There was the talk about public education enforcement of ordinances and of policies is really important. A lot of discussion about impact of surface water and groundwater from feedlots, and then the concern about wake boats impacting the shoreline. So talking to the economic focus group, we had several group, actually kind of several people that identified a little differently. There were farmers and landowners, and we also talked to some developers. And what we heard from the farmers was that the best location for feedlots is closest to the dairy processors, and they also said that it's best to be away from residents. They didn't want to have the conflict of development and things in areas near large farms, because there's just that conflict. People complain about smells or odors. There's concern about water. So there was talk about making sure that those two were distant from each other, and that was actually something that was shared with the environmental group as well. And then there was the concern for surface water and groundwater, and there was a lot of conversation about talking about placing feedlots in areas where it's most appropriate and where the soils are most appropriate for that. And they also noted that feedlots, there are some existing farms and the existing farm can make it work, but that to develop a new feedlot using current, it really needs to be about 2,500 animal units or more to be profitable. Otherwise, it's just not worth the investment. It's not shown here, but there was a conversation about just how important that farming is to the economy of Becker County. As far as developers, residential development needs to be more dense to make it cost effective. Being on larger lots is not cost effective. They expressed more desire to have lots, especially like 1 acre lots, close to cities that are served, especially with sewer water, and that, that's where people really want to be, close to the, close to Detroit Lakes or close to the cities where they have access to stores and things. And another thing, that a theme again that was throughout all of these different focus groups was just the interest in protecting natural resources and especially water quality. Developers realize that that's the reason that people want to be there as well. It's the reason that a lot of local developers are there. And the farmers are concerned about water quality as well, so they obviously rely on it for their work. So that's what we heard. Based on that, and I should have mentioned too that we did have very regular meetings with the county board, and so a lot of their input is reflected in these vision and mission statement and some of the goals that I'm going to be sharing. I thought I'd share the vision and mission. Here, you know, we talked quite a bit about the balance. You can see I've underlined the word balance, is that it's really about balancing the economy. You know, so the vision that we have here is Becker County is an innovative and thriving community based on rural values. It is supported by a diverse economy of forestry, tourism, agriculture, and industries with a balanced approach to growth. And then the mission is that Becker County will serve current and future residents by balancing priorities, planning for a community that has a range of needs and budgets, that's talking a lot to the housing needs, supporting jobs and a prosperous local economy. Again, that was number three on the or number two on the priorities, protecting natural resources and providing sustainable outdoor recreation. And of course, that includes natural resources, the forest, the water, and the parkland, engaging residents and businesses to build a sense of community, and then serving the community by providing efficient public services and infrastructure. And then I'm only going to include, just in the interest of time, I thought I would just highlight the goals and policies. This is the land use one. It only had one goal, and you can kind of, again, you can see that that theme coming through of balancing priorities. The goal is to safeguard water quality and preserve agricultural land, forests, wetlands, and shoreland areas while calibrating the intensity of future land uses based on community goals and sustainability. And then under that, there's three policies. The one is just, as I was talking, policy one is about, coordinating with the plans, policies, and activities of other agencies. And, you know, as we started this conversation, we talked about, you know, the comprehensive land use plan is really high level. So it's not like in the weeds. It's not talking about how or anything, but we're trying to incorporate. So instead of restating a lot of the policies and things of other agencies that Becker County works closely with, we're kind of referencing them we're including them by reference. So we're saying that the county is going to continue to coordinate with a lot of these different organizations that have watershed plans and already have kind of implementation plans in place, especially focused on water quality initiatives. Policy number two is to implement land use policies and ordinances to direct intense land uses away from unsuitable areas that conflict with natural resource goals and policies. And then policy three is to plan for growth that respects the existing environmental conditions and minimizes the impacts of development on natural resources while achieving growth. So again, I wasn't going to go through all of the policies, but there are goals and policies related to housing, related to economic development, related to natural resources, transportation, and then there's another one related to infrastructure and public services. And then, so based on all the input that we have, and then using the vision, mission, and goals and policies to guide us, we have made some changes to the land use plan. When we started it, there was a lot of different land use plans, as well as a lot of different zoning districts. And so we really tried to simplify it. So you can see here on the triangle, we kind of redefined the land use map and plan, which I'm going to show you here shortly, to show that there's residential, there's mixed use, which is actually going to be a little bit of an overlay, and I'll explain that when we get to the map. There's residential uses, commercial uses, agricultural uses, and industrial uses. So we really tried to simplify it. And then as we work on updating the zoning code, we've broken those down into more refined or specific types of land uses. So like R1, R2, and R3 are different densities. We've got one commercial district. We've got two, proposing two ag districts, just to differentiate between the intensity of uses, especially with feedlots. And then we've got two different types of industrial uses. So that's, I think we took it, Dylan can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was like 13 or 14 various land use and zoning categories, and we've really simplified it quite a bit.
13 sounds about right.
Yeah, thank you. Lucky 13. And then the other thing that we've done is that we've added a mixed use overlay, you know, as development, kind of as planning has evolved. There used to be this perception that, you know, different types of land uses were incompatible, and they were, like when we were using coal and, you know, more intense uses. Now, a lot of times people want to be, they want to live in an apartment above, you know, above a store or convenience store or grocery store, or they want to be able to walk to their coffee shop. So we've added a mixed use overlay over some areas along some of the transportation corridors that would allow people, you know, to come in with maybe a small scale development that has some mixed uses or has more of that, like in a residential area, maybe has like a little neighborhood type store to it. So with that as kind of an introduction, well, I did mention the zoning. We did add the new districts, talked a little bit about the mixed use. And then the other thing that we've done is that we're proposing to increase the densities strategically, kind of strategically along transportation corridors and where there's already development and infrastructure. Mostly, again, to provide, you know, greater housing opportunities. So this is the current land use map. You can see here the different land uses that we were talking about. I think there was, that looks like about 11 land uses. And then, so you can see a lot of green area, and then kind of some smattering of uses near the cities. And then this is the proposed, so I'll just flip back once. So you can see there, again, it's mostly green with just a little bit of color. This one is showing the area, and again, you can see now the more consolidated categories where you have agriculture, commercial, industrial, and residential. And then there's that mixed use overlay where, you know, like in the green area, there might be, you know, an agriculture where maybe there's like allowed use, you know, maybe a farm related use that could go in there, a farm related business, for example. And then the other thing you'll notice, there's a lot more yellow. Some of this is really just reflecting some of the small residential areas. You know, this, like some of these areas were originally, or in the last map, for example, like around this lake, you know, it was all green. But if you look, and you can't really see at this scale, but if you look, a lot of this is already broken up. It's already really residential. It's not agriculture in nature. And so we are, you know, we're showing this as really residential in nature as a future land use, and there may be some, you know, opportunities for additional development in those areas. And then in this area down here, we're showing again as residential. This is mostly to reflect the types of development that are already there, as well as the fact that there is urban services, sewer and water near the cities. And this seems to be some of the areas that really want to see development, or that's where people are seeming to want to develop. And so what we've heard so far, like I said, we've had the public comment period open for almost a month now. We're going to keep it open through the Labor Day holiday and to September 9th. What we've heard so far is we've had some comments about weight votes. We've heard some concerns about feedlots and the level of detail that's in the plan. We've heard comments. We heard one comment noting that any changes to the land use need to be coordinated with the White Earth Reservation or require tribal council approval. And then we just had one more comment come in recently this past week that was concerned about treatment of forest areas and being developed being developed too much as an economic resource. So that's what we've heard so far. And as far as next steps, the plan is posted on the website. We have communicated it out via social media, newsletters, emails, and there is a way for folks can provide comments online or submit comments via email. We're having a meeting tonight. We're hoping to hear your feedback from the Planning Commission and also seek a recommendation from the county, recommendation for the county board's consideration. We're tentatively scheduling a public hearing for next week before the county board, and then they would hear in September. We were going to give a summary of what we heard, and then if we recommend any changes based on that. And then October 8th, it would go to county board for approval. So that's very high level presentation. I'd be interested if there's any comments or questions. I think I'll turn it back to either Kyle or the chair.
Thank you, Robin.
Chair, I'd also just like to point in a couple of things. I looked up a couple of statutes that I just want to make sure as we're listening to feedback tonight, I just want to read what Minnesota Statute 394.231 says about comprehensive plans in Greater Minnesota. It says a county adopting or updating a comprehensive plan shall consider adopting goals and objectives for the preservation of agriculture, forests, wildlife, and open space land, and minimizing development in sensitive shoreline areas. And then it lists things that really are around development and land use. And then I also just want to point out Minnesota Statute 394.30, which defines what the Planning Commission is. I'm not going to read what the statute says, but it does make it very clear that the Planning Commission's role is conditional use permits, subdivisions of land, and to make recommendations to the board and to review a comprehensive plan. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that, as that's what Minnesota statute says. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Again, we'll now open this up to public testimony. Like I said before, we're going to limit people to 2 minutes. I would ask that when you get up to speak, try not to repeat something that's already been said. We don't want to repeat the same thing 20, 30 times. If you got some new information. Now, I know, Willis, I know you've got some talking points that you wanted to talk about, and I know some of the people here are with you as well. So I will give you 4 minutes up front if you would like to start. And I will give you a little more time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, members of the Board. I appreciate the special consideration of the effort that the development is being put into this planning process. My name is Willis Matson. I live at 1456 Highway 34. I appear on behalf of the Isaac Bolton League of America, it's Minnesota Division, and the Isaac Bolton League chapter here in town. My colleagues have already entered two Isaac Bolton League chapter special reports into the hearing record, one on industrial scale feedlots, impacts, and the other on wave boats. A third related issue of industrial scale row crop agriculture impacts has also arisen during the research conducted for these two reports. A short section of this industry known and predictable water quality impacts is included in the feedlot paper with sufficient detail to allow the county to consider appropriate plan revisions and necessary ordinances. At the request of your planning consultant, my colleague and I also prepared suggested language for amending the draft plan on these issues. Language to describe these issues and how they are affecting Becker County was to be included. It also included several optional actions, including ordinances that can address them. I entered those into the record already with your clerk. at the preparation, in the preparation of these reports, FLEAG members contacted several county departments and several state agencies to gather data, reports, and other assessments necessary to developing our reports. Each time we contacted other county departments or state agencies, we were somewhat baffled and dismayed that neither the planning consultants or the county staff had notified them or asked for input from them previously, at the very beginning of the planning process over a year ago. As an experienced natural resource planner myself, I can tell you that such coordination with other agencies with vital information on the subject at hand is a standard operational practice. What's even more troubling is that such notice and meaningful consultation with state agencies is mandatory under comprehensive planning enabling legislation. Commissioner Jepson pointed out one section of the plan didn't point out the very first subsection of that statute. Omission of these important steps has obvious implications for the draft plan before us tonight. For example, Becker County Soil and Water Conservation District had identified serious fecal coliform bacteria, Escherichia coli bacteria contamination in the Toad River, traceable to livestock operation in the watershed. The SWCD was acting responsibly by contacting every owner in the watershed, advising them of their findings and offering assistance to livestock operators to begin mitigating the source. And I put into tonight's record the postcard that I received as a mere resident of the watershed, alerting to the problem. On the Pollution Control Agency website, we found starting a report of severe pollution in the Strait River, a premier trout stream that has its headwaters in Becker County. It's the only trout stream of this quality in the entire county. It has extraordinarily high, unprecedentedly high concentration of nitrates, so high it's causing nearly complete oxygen depletion in the river every summer night. This pollution is traceable to industrial-scale irrigated row crop agriculture that's dominant in the watershed. The water quality problem should be in Becker County's land use plan. Until it is, the plan is deficient, incomplete, and in need of revision. On the Department of Agriculture site, we found township well water sampling studies reporting that in 200 private wells sampled in Pine Point, Carsonville, and Osage Townships alone, some 190 people were consuming well water contaminated with nitrates from industrial level agricultural land uses in excess of street drinking water standards. This was a 2019 report, so it's not new. Why was Becker County, has Becker County not responded? Are homeowners still drinking water that's contaminated by controlled land use in Becker County? Are alternative sources of water being made available?
Willis.
Is that time?
Yeah, that was time. Do you got any one last thing you want to wrap up with? I mean.
The main point is the statute requires having contact with all these agencies, just one contact. Found deficiencies in the material, and the statute requires that. So I believe that the comp plan as proposed, without doing that and gathering these kinds of information, does not adequately identify serious problems that would lead to ordinances that correct them. So I would really urge this commission to not recommend approval, but recommend that the consultants and your staff do the consultation required by statute and then incorporate them. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Rose. Anybody else to speak to this application? Please step forward and state your name.
My name is Chuck Decker. Probably don't want to hear too much more about wake boats and wake surfing, but I provided the leadership in the county with a comprehensive report about wake surfing, wake boats. Presentation today by the consultant mentioned things like natural resources, water quality, and so wake boats a couple times there. Spring of 2023, Kyle, you were gracious enough to attend the Becker County Coalition of Lake Associations meeting. Kyle talked about his roles and responsibilities with the county. He also talked about the upcoming revision of the comprehensive plan. And I think as any good comprehensive plan update would allow, would be identifying issues that didn't exist when the previous plan was put together. And Kyle, I think you mentioned three things that I remember would be discussed would be BRBOs, CAFOs, and wake boats. I think I got that right. So while you may not consider it part of land use, I think shoreland is part of the land. And these boats do affect shoreland. We're not talking about boats 10 or 15 years from now. We're talking about what's here and now in this county. And it's a growing issue. It's not just here. It's nationwide. It's in Canada. I've talked to people in Great Britain that have issues. So how it cannot be part of this plan, we're kind of led to believe that it would be. Certainly you got lots of feedback about it. So I'm just asking that you please reconsider having it being part of the plan in some way, shape, or form, because I think it's a serious issue for the lakes that we have in this county and the importance of the lakes that we have, not just for the people who live on them, but certainly for property tax revenue, the businesses that are supported by the folks that are on the lakes, and sure, lots of folks that use the lakes that don't have property on the lakes. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chuck. Anybody else to speak to this application? Please step forward, state your name.
Good evening, my name is David Oberlander. I'm the president of the Becker County Coalition of Lake Associations. And I won't reiterate what they had to say, but I do want for clarification to go on the record. Kyle, you did come to us, Becker County Coalition members. We had 20 members at the meeting at that time, and we had 13 lakes represented at that meeting. You did talk about the purpose of the planning or zoning administrator and your job as protecting our resources. And we want to make sure that you, from us, understand that's our number one. You did talk about the feedlots. You did talk about the wake boats. You also talked about look at the notes. The wind farms and the solar farms. Nobody's discussed those either at this meeting. So, not to go into length, we just want to know that our voices are heard. Within the Becker County COLA, we have 38 lakes associations and quite a few residents and members within our lake association. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you, David. All right, anybody else to speak? Just step forward.
Good evening, I'm Bill Henke at Detroit Lakes. I just have a simple point to make, and first of all, I'd like to thank Chair Okeson for allowing us, and I'm representing it as a private citizen as well as the Isaac Walton League, to submit what we felt was really comprehensive emerging information on concentrated animal feedlot operations. We're talking about these industrial feedlots as well as the wake boats. So I applaud that. The point that I'd like to make tonight is that I feel that the comprehensive plan really does give us a very good opportunity to tie that plan with the wealth of information that we provided. This changing constantly. The data that we're seeing emerging on feedlot operations, again, these industrial complexes, is frightening. It's alarming to anybody who's discerning and willing to do the homework and look at it. And it certainly has a very real potential impact for Becker County. So, and given that, let's utilize this plan. Let's make it a living document that takes into account the emerging information and then invites the participation for those of us, the citizenry. There are a lot of people that are fairly expert in a variety of components of that. Please use us. I'm glad we're here tonight. This is a good start, but make use of the citizenry. I think we can be very valuable to this whole process. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hi, my name is Janet Potter Bridgers, and I live on Cotton Lake. We've had our property since 1948, And I was reading your plan, and I was just a little concerned because all the areas surrounding our lake is zoned agricultural right now. And I noticed that Robin said that those are kind of outdated, that there's actually houses there. But I think the housing allotment is one house per 2.5 acres. So all of that current land on the new plan has gone from agricultural to residential. So fellow people on the lake were kind of concerned that the residential lots could turn into large developments around Cotton Lake, and we just wanted clarification what zone class it would be. Like, is it one house per 2 acres, or is it four houses per acre, and how that would work, and how that could be communicated to us as residents. The major concern is that if it was potentially a lot of high density housing, that we could get up to 4,000 housing units around Cotton Lake, and it just environmentally, we just can't handle that. There's too many trees to cut down, and we'd lose all that. So I just wanted some feedback on that. Thank you.
All right, anybody else speak to this application? Take turns.
Hello, my name is Vicki Williams, and I share similar concerns. I live on Lake Melissa. I am blessed to be the fifth generation on our property, and currently we have in excess of 38 acres that is zoned agricultural. I found, and I'm not able to see in extreme detail yet, but it looks like it's all being changed to residential. And this is a concern for me, not only for the density that I don't feel that our lake, Lake Melissa, can support. Also, I feel that it is possible that there's going to be some substantial tax ramifications. So I ask the commissioners to please consider this plan and take the time that it needs to seriously give consideration to all these different areas. I previously commented on more general issues such as feedlots and water quality and housing density in other areas. There's a time and a place for, you know, changes, but this seems to be happening quite quickly. And I think I may have said before, I was not notified of any changes to my property. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. What?
My name is Julie Scudmore, and I live in Lake Eunice Township on Lake Maud. My husband's family has been there since the late 50s, early 60s. And when I look, and I'm sorry that she took that map down, when I look at the current plan as opposed to the future plan, I reflect a lot of the concerns that the two ladies have prior to me speaking. There are three townships that seem to be absorbing all of this elimination of agricultural and proposed residential. And I don't understand how that came about. If you look at the two different, I don't know if you can show the other one. The yellow is the proposed, and the current one is no yellow. So I'm just concerned about everything, our quality of life, that is going to change dramatically with that kind of development. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Please state your name.
I'm Jeannie Kaufman from Lake Eunice. I wanted to share that we have had our place since the 60s. My dad was a former Detroit Lakes High School science and physics teacher here, and we bought the property on Lake Eunice, and he always encouraged us. In fact, he always kept a natural beach I don't know if any of you remember Ray Hanel, but he and George Pearson built our cabin. And so we certainly had impact from them. I spoke at one of these meetings back when I was in high school, when they were proposing putting a campground on our lake, which would have had campers and slips for all the camps. And I spoke at that time, being in high school, about the fact that as a kid I'd swam across the lake with a bunch of friends. Of course, we told our parents afterwards. But I couldn't imagine doing that with the much overpopulation on our lake, and that campground did not go through. I'm wondering if you have all read the Fargo Forum article from August 17th about Minnesota losing its beaches. And if you haven't, it is an amazing article, and I can share it with Kyle. In fact, I think I included it in a letter to him. But it is a serious issue for our lakes. And one of my considerations is overpopulation, seeing all these places being residential now. Are we going to lose the health of our lakes? And is it going to be too late? We have seen new properties on our lake taking down all the natural shoreline, all the trees, and, you know, asking afterwards in some cases, and it's devastating to our lake. Certainly wake boats are a problem. I have a neighbor who has a shoreline that they bought from a previous person who'd taken out all the natural shoreline, and they have sand there, and I see them every day hiking up more sand, trying to keep their property line, our property line, since it's natural. We did a restoration project with the DNR. It far exceeds our neighbors because it is. And we've learned that riprap is bad for the lake because it heats up the lake and continues to cause algae. We have at least 11 to 13 boats on our lake. I'll be quick and finish. Our lake is too small for that. Already, the studies have been shown it's not deep enough, it's not wide enough. I hear from the neighbors, they're really upset. They go to me because I'm the new COLA person. I'm probably not popular here, but I'm popular with them. Anyway, I just want to speak on behalf of the lakes. I have a friend who's going to be working at the steam threshers reunion, and she was cleaning out an old stove, and she's figuring out what was coming down. She realized it was asbestos. Now remember, this at one point was thought of a good thing to be building with. Now we see the ramifications. Let's not let our lakes be the victim of us not treating them well and preserving them. The fish, the bees, the birds all deserve it too. Thanks.
Thanks, Jean. Step forward.
Sorry. Thank you. My name is Erica Gilstorm. I am a member of the Isaac Walton League of America, the Prairie Roots chapter. The Isaac Walton League of America is the oldest and most successful conservation organization, and that's built on local volunteers that have expertise and steer knowledge both within our area and nationwide. The Ike's mission is to conserve, restore, and promote the sustainable use and enjoyment of our natural resources, including soil, air, woods, waters, and wildlife, and that aligns with the planning and zoning, which is to promote the judicious use of resources while protecting the environment. I've been invited, like everybody here, to help shape the future, and that's why we have been involved in this process for quite a while. I've seen many of your faces. The ICE identified CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, as a primary concern, one of our primary concerns. And a CAFO was proposed for Becker County. Public input was raised on these issues. Information was needed on the impacts. ICE made an ask to County Commissioner Chair John Oakson, thank you, and the planning and zoning to provide information for review, which we compiled and did. The consultants requested copies of these issue reports. We provided CAFO reports, which includes compiled information and references to all of you on the Planning Commission, as well as attended and personally gave copies to the county commissioners at the recent board meeting. Today, we are formally submitting the league special report for the Becker County Comprehensive Plan Addressing Animal Feeding Operations, which are called AFOs, AFOs, and Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations, CAFOs, to the Becker County Planning Commission and to the Bolton Meat Consultants for official entry into the record of this hearing. So the main point is that in the case of CAFOs, which is a personal and organizational concern, the purity of our waters, the integrity of our small rural communities and family farmers, the economics of our region, the public health and maltreatment of the livestock locked in confined industrial complexes are all at stake. We're asking you to please pay attention to the science. It will serve us well, and address these concerns adequately and effectively, and the comprehensive plan is the only way to address these emerging problems in our zoning ordinances. I'd like to respectfully submit this.
All right, I will take that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Yep.
Anybody else to speak to this application? Step forward, sir.
Hi, my name is David Melsness. I live on South Cotton Lake Road on Cotton Lake. The family's been there since 56. The targeted area for residential development around Cotton Lake and Pickerel is very concerning. The potential impact of more traffic on County 32 is a major concern for our safety, especially those who enjoy walking or bicycle riding. More septic systems are going to strain our groundwater, more strain on the public access, with more chances of invasive species on the lake because of all the extra people there. In the winter, there will be more snowmobile traffic on the lake, with many more people looking for shortcuts to the ice by cutting through private property. It's already an issue. There will be more noise pollution. Traffic County 32 echoes across the lake now, especially from the Southwest Bay, what's it going to sound like with a couple hundred extra people every day. There will be more light pollution, something once talked about. Part of the joy, part of the mystic of living here is the opportunity to view the Milky Way and the occasional northern lights. With the possibility of hundreds of extra houses, yard lights, street lights, we're going to lose that sky. And all that extra light is going to affect our nocturnal animals. So please don't turn this area into a couple of extra busy lakes. Now, a comment made was that you're very concerned about water quality and our natural resources. If so, why are we packing so many potential housing developments around all the lakes and not elsewhere? Thanks for your time.
Thank you, David. Anybody else to speak to this application? All right, I think he stood up first. You can be next.
Oh, sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I had two quick items.
What's your name first?
I'm sorry, Bob Bachman, 31747 Sugar Creek Road. That's in Sugar Bush Township. And I, before retiring, worked for 10 years as executive director of an organization called Riverkeepers. I spent the majority of my time working with water quality issues, and I still maintain an interest in that. Hence, I read the report that the Department of Agriculture produced that was published in 2019 that talked about the water well, drinking wells that were the study that was done in eastern Becker County. It bothers me greatly that we have people that live over there because their water is contaminated, probably because of land use, that are drinking bottled water. It seems to me that our consultant mentioned current conditions. I saw nothing in our draft plan about that current condition. That, to me, is an important one that should be addressed. The second item I'd like to bring up quickly is that, as we can see from the audience here tonight, there is a large interest in this plan, and sometimes the citizens don't move as quickly as you would like them to. I apologize for that, if I can apologize for some of these folks. And that I would like to see, and I think others would too, more time spent being able for those of us that are interested in this subject to study the plan a little longer, to be able to ask more questions, to be able to have more interaction with you and the consultant. And so my request is for more time delayed in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Please step forward, sir.
My name is Len Hanneman. I live in Erie Township on Pickerel Lake, and I too am concerned about the rezoning, or I don't know if it's rezoning or reclassification from agricultural to residential. I'm a short timer. I've only been there 5 years. But I just want to speak to my past. I grew up on a chain of lakes. As a kid, it was great. We destroyed lakes. High density housing. You couldn't see 1 inch into the water. It was so bad. There was no solution for that except money. And what they ended up doing finally was they ended up putting sewage system around all the lakes. And I'd love to see you do that in this county. It'd be unfortunate. The cost there was tens of millions of dollars 30 years ago. What are you going to do? You're just going to wreck everything. The main cause of the pollution in the water was the septic systems. Failing septic systems, and I know we all have rules. You sell your home, you have to pass the tests or put a new system in, but not all homes are getting sold. You can see how many of these places belong to people for years. You're going to wreck it. Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn. Anybody else? Can you step forward?
Good evening. I'm Sue Sonnenberg of Detroit Lakes, and I would just like to talk about quality, the quality of time that we all desire to spend on this comp plan, especially when we're addressing the cables. We'd like to encourage you to, even though, as Bob said, that some of us may be slow in getting to these meetings or in the special input sessions, it really is important that we all feel that we're heard, you know, whether we are on the lake or whether we enjoy the lake. The front page of the Minneapolis paper today, I don't know if you saw it, but it talks about front page, how important it is that the state and the United States overall are using our valuable wetlands. And development, obviously, we want that to grow our communities, but we want it to grow it in a way that we slow our roll, really take a hard look at what's being done around our lakes and who it's benefiting and areas that we can improve. And we don't have to just go ahead and settle. We can spend our time listening, carefully inputting, and then activating. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Anybody else to speak to this application? All right.
There we go. Good evening. My name is Jacob Hein. I am a supervisor in Audubon Township. I and my family have farmed in Audubon Township since 1872, when Audubon Township was founded and first settled. There's a lot of interesting conversation here tonight about agriculture and agricultural zoning, as if agriculture and agricultural zoning preserves the way of life that people in this county have come to love. People do not move to rural Becker County to have more dense housing. People do not move to rural Becker County to be around a lot of development, to have lots and lots of people near them. People move to rural Becker County because it is quiet, it is pristine, it is a wonderful and quiet and comfortable place to live. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. We do not need high density housing in Audubon Township or any other township in this county. We do not need lots of more lakeshore development. Now to speak to agriculture. I will be the first one to admit there are bad farmers, just like there are bad lawyers, just like there are bad plumbers, just like there are bad any profession that you can think of. But most farmers and agriculturalists care about our natural resources, our clean water, our forests, and we absolutely do the best job that we can. The resources that we put on our fields are extremely costly, and we are extremely careful and use those types of things in manners that is extremely conservative. There are cases, of course, when you're talking about Eastern Becker County, I'll finish up shortly. When you're talking about Eastern Becker County, you're talking about a completely different type of soil and a completely different type of irrigated agriculture that in some cases may lead to excessive amounts of runoff. That is understandable. But I want to make sure it's clear this evening that that is a very specific portion of the county that could be addressed in that situation. Agriculture as a whole is extremely conservative, and most all of the agriculturalists that I know have a working relationship with Becker County Soil and Water and do the best job they can to conserve our land, conserve our water, and conserve our natural resources, because they're all of our stuff. They're all of ours together, and we care about the future of our kids and their ability to do what we've done for seven generations in Audubon Township. Thank you.
Thanks, Jake. Anybody else to speak to this application? Anybody else to speak to this application?
Do I get a second mic?
No. All right. With that, we'll close testimony. First off, I'd like to thank everybody, one, for your orderly conduct and your testimony this evening. I mean, it's very good. It's all stuff that's talked about in the plan. So I appreciate everybody taking their time to be here tonight to share their input with us on this plan. So
I'm wondering if we can just make a couple clarifications. One, there has been no change with zoning. No, when this land gets approved, there's no change. Everybody's that land that is zoned agriculture will remain agriculture until they come and request a change with zoning. Correct?
Correct.
Then can you just, because I don't remember off the top of my head, explain the difference, and maybe Robin can, the difference between the R1 districts and the R2 districts and the lot sizes. I know we've heard a lot of concern of high density and the lot sizes, but the yellow, most of that yellow that is around the lakes are 2-acre lots, correct? Which agriculture now is 2.5 acres. So yes, the lot size is smaller, but it's a half acre smaller. So I just wanted to make sure that people understand that it's not residential right now is 1 acre, but the changes that are made around those lakes are just a half acre smaller than what they currently are. It's zoned agriculture. So I just wanted to make that clarification for those that are here.
Yes, and I think I just put up, this is Robin, I put up the slide that just shows what we're currently proposing, and I think if I recall, the currently, like you said, it allows 2.5 acres in the agriculture, lot sizes of 2.5 acres, and this would be 2 acre lots.
And where is that R3 located, Robin? It's not in our rural areas, correct?
It's not. And I should have mentioned, we are going to be, you know, this is the comprehensive plan. We are going to be doing a second phase that talks, you know, more detailed about the zoning that goes with it. And so I don't recall, like, immediately off the top of my head, but if I recall Most of this in this area was still going to be 2.5. A lot of the R3 was more along like the highway corridors and within, you know, around Detroit Lakes and around the, you know, immediately adjacent to some of the smaller cities.
Thank you, Robin.
Yes.
I'm not testifying, but I think when everything's on the map, that's like, I just can't read it.
No.
It needs to be divided up by townships, so people, it's totally confusing.
Right.
No, like, I agree. It's tough to see up there.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. All right. Could you show once, again, you had a slide, Robin, that showed the timing of what would take place next? Because I believe there is some more opportunity for dialogue from the public. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Robin, is there any way that, are these, do we have the land use maps that are divided into the four areas of the county? It's a four quadrants. That, I'm just wondering, because there's some people here that have said that it's very difficult to see on that large map, that I'm wondering if there's any way we can get copies of it uploaded to the webpage with the four quadrants.
Yeah, I think we can do that. I don't know if I have them, it would take me a little bit to pull them up. I think they might not be quite correct. So I think we should be able to generate them and then upload them to the website.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
All right, any further discussion? I'm sorry, testimony is closed.
No, this is a procedural question now on upcoming opportunities and the can we ask Robin?
Yes.
Robin Willis-Madsen, you have talked about a variety of different venues and forums for better public participation. As Bill Henke mentioned here, would it be possible to schedule a forum in which there is opportunity for dialogue, give and take, exchange of information? When you're here at a hearing, you get to say your thing, you ask questions that don't get answered, and that leaves us wanting. So if there's a time and place where you guys could just sit down with us and especially engage on the hot topics of the day to get better understanding of what's the right avenue, what are the opportunities, is this important, how can we get it done? Is there a place in your public participation to do that kind of a dialogue rather than just a hearing?
That's directed at Robin. Could you hear that, Robin?
Was it the question for forum?
Yes.
Is that?
Just wondering, and I'm guessing that would go back to the county board if they wanted to have any other forms of here open sessions, correct?
That's correct. You know, we would take the direction from the county board as far as what they're looking for. So we would look to them for direction.
So should we call our county commissioner and find out and let them know? Because I agree with you.
Well, and this will be part of the information. And there's county commissioners sitting here tonight. And like I say, their job is they will bring it back to the full board based off the information we've heard tonight. I mean, that's why we have this hearing. Like I say, we're a board of recommendation to the county. We were charged with having a hearing. It's an opportunity for the public to speak, present maybe things that haven't been discussed in enough detail, hear if there's more things they need to look at before they would do a final approval. You know, the steps in the process is we move it on to the county board. They then go through all the testimony we've heard tonight. They will have a hearing. Then there'll be some time before they would ever approve it. They would have an opportunity to make changes before this would be approved.
And will all that information that you convey, they convey, be on the page for the comprehensive plan for us as the public?
Whatever they decide to put on there. We have no control over that.
So we don't have control over it. Okay.
So when testimony is closed, I'll answer questions, but...
I have a question. When she said she would upload, especially information around the lakes, it didn't sound like it may be completely accurate. Those documents need to be extremely accurate so we can look at specifics.
What she was saying was not accurate was the one that she currently has, not the one that's on there. When we were working on it for the board had looked at quadrants of the county so that they were more blown up. That's the ones she's talking about are not accurate because they're the old ones. The ones that would be uploaded would be accurate.
All right. Go ahead, Robin.
I would just say that's correct. We did do quadrants at one point as we were, working with the county board, but we've made changes. So the ones that I have right now are not updated to reflect any changes like over the last two or three months probably. So I would need to just make sure that I would just need to update it. I would just need to make to generate off of the current map that I had shown earlier and divide it into the four quadrants.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
Yeah. Yep.
Can we speak here?
Yeah, we're okay. Open for board discussion.
Yeah. I guess one thing I was looking for is, so we get this new comp plan, and I like the discussion here tonight. This is the type of discussion that probably should have happened a while back so that we can get at each other's ideas and proposals and get a kind of an understanding going first before we get into all the technical stuff and, this meeting and that meeting. So I really like this. I think we should probably try and do one more of something like this where people can just come and talk. And that's where we learn an awful lot.
Steve, we had the other already.
Just a second.
Hold on.
The other thing is, so we have this plan now. How do we use it? How are we going to use it? I know the Planning Commission, we have our CUP approvals and so forth. And I can't remember maybe more than once where the comp plan was actually brought up and played a role in what we decided. And so I'm really interested in the comp plan, how it's going to be used, where it should be used, and and by who, what committees, how can we use this rather than put it on a shelf and never look at it again. So.
All right, any further discussion of the board? Any further discussion of the board? All right, hearing none, I would call for a motion.
Chair, I will make a motion that we forward this on to the county board for approval and ratification.
All right, we have a motion by Craig to move this forward to the county board. Do I have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second by Harvey. Any further discussion?
I just want to make it clear, by moving it on to the county board does not mean that changes can't be made.
Exactly.
Correct.
So I just wanted to make that clear. That doesn't mean that changes can't still be made.
It's just moving on.
The public testimony and comments will accommodate the plan with the forwarding.
Would there be an opportunity for a group like this to meet again and more people come and talk and give some opinions before the board does their thing?
That would be up to the county board, Steve, if they would choose. They'll have another meeting and then they might choose to do something before they ratify it. That'll go at the county board. So
did I not see that on her plan on that?
There's a time
calendar?
Frame between. Yes.
Yeah,
there's a public hearing. There's the
third. Yeah, so there's a public hearing.
Yeah,
clarification, September 3rd, there's nothing on the board agenda that's already out for this, so we had to move things up because of the holidays, so a lot of things we wanted on there are not going to get on there. So it'd be like the 17th would be the earliest, I believe.
So that
schedule was
timeline was wrong.
The 3rd is.
Yep, the 3rd, okay.
All right, thanks for clarification on that.
Mr. Chair,
We've closed testimony.
But this is procedural again. I am amazed that you're going to close the hearing and make a recommendation when the public comment period doesn't end until September 9th. That's confusing. Where do all those comments go?
To the county board.
So this hearing is only on the narrow aspect of what this commission's role is. The public, if we have something outside of what you think is appropriate, we have to put all those comments before the county board again.
Right. That is correct.
The role of
all right. Go ahead.
The role of the Planning Commission is really just to review it. It's not to recommend any changes or recommend anything. It's just to review it so that it's not even really a requirement that the Planning Commission reviews it. This is just what we did. So that the next process is for it to go to the board for approval after we continue to have public hearing.
All right. So with that, we've got a motion and a second. I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise their hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Motion to adjourn.
So
motion by Harvey, second by Tom.